Well, praise the Lord. This is Mark Irvin, and I'm glad to be with you again for another class on Foundation for Bible Basics. We are on our last class, for Foundation for Bible Basics. Before we get into this message, let's go before the Father and ask Him to guide us. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You again for another opportunity to be able to minister Your Word, to share Your Word with each and every Bible school student. And Father, I pray right now that the Holy Spirit would speak through me, that the Holy Spirit would give revelation to each and every student. Holy Spirit, You're on the inside of them, and You are the teacher. You're the author of the Bible. You reveal to us our Father's Word, and we trust You to do that right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment." Of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Now, there is some of this that we're not going to cover in this series. And the reason for that is because we have a class coming up on end times. And in our end times class, we're going to cover quite a bit of this last part where it says the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. For you and I, the resurrection of the dead, what this means, it means that if we should die physically before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, our bodies will go into the ground, and then when Jesus Christ comes back, we will come back with Him, and we will receive our body from the ground. Our spirit will again be joined with our body, and we will go back with Jesus for 7 years during a time called the tribulation. At that time, we will go before a place called the judgment seat of Christ or the reward seat of Christ. And like I said, I'm not going to get into these scriptures right now because this is some depth that we will get into when we are teaching on end times. But the Word of God does teach us that we will go before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat is also called the reward seat of Christ. And the Bible teaches us that we are going to receive rewards when we get to heaven for the things that we've done here in this earth, for the things that have come out of the Spirit, for the things that are left that where the flesh was removed. And so this is something that we have to look forward to. The judgment that I want to talk about more in this class is the eternal judgment of unbelievers, the internal judgment of unbelievers. Unbelievers will also be brought before a throne, but this throne is not the same throne that you and I will be brought before. This throne is called the Great White Throne. You're not going to stand before the Great White Throne. I'm not going to stand there, but unbelievers will stand there, and they will be judged by the book of works. Their works will be matched up with the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, and none of those works will match. This is the reason that we cannot be born again through our good works. You can work and work and work and have the best, but in all that you do, there are going to be some imperfections, and no one has ever lived a life that equals the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so salvation is not through works. Salvation is through faith in the works of the Lord Jesus, or faith in the redemptive, let me put it this way, the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ, when He came to this earth, He lived a perfect life. He lived a sinless life. He became a perfect sacrifice. And because He became a perfect sacrifice, living a perfect life, He qualified to become a substitute for you and I. He took our sin nature within Himself. He took all of our sins within Himself. And that price was paid for our sin on the cross. He went to hell. He satisfied God, our Father, who is also the justice, the judge of justice. He satisfied the righteous God, the just God. He satisfied the claim of justice. Somebody had to pay the penalty for the wrongdoing of Adam. Somebody had to pay the penalty for all the sins that man has ever committed. Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice to pay the penalty for sin on the cross. He went to hell so that you and I would not have to go there. And then Jesus resurrected. And when Jesus resurrected, he provided eternal life for us. Aren't you glad? Well, unbelievers are going to go before what is called the Great White Throne. The Great White Throne. And from the Great White Throne, they will be cast into Hades. There are three different hells that are mentioned in the scriptures. There is hell called Hell Hades, and we studied this in our last lesson. And this is the place that all unbelievers are at this time. Well, in Hades, there's also a place called Abraham's Bosom. And Abraham's Bosom is a place of protection. That place no longer has people in it because it contained all of the Old Testament saints. Well, when Jesus died, he went to hell. And then when he came out of hell, he went to Abraham's Bosom and imparted eternal life into all of those Old Testament saints. They were born again. They raised with Jesus. Eternal life was imparted into them. Some of them, when they resurrected, they got their bodies back and they appeared in the city of Jerusalem on Resurrection Day, on the same day that Jesus resurrected, and began to appear to other people as the resurrected Savior, the resurrected Messiah. So there is Hell Hades, and then there is Hell Gehenna. Gehenna is the lake of fire. And this is the eternal lake of fire that all demons, that the devil, that fallen angels, that all unbelievers will eventually be cast into, an eternal place of torment. And then there's Hell Tartarus. Hell Tartarus is the place that contains right now fallen angels. When Lucifer fell, a third of the angels fell with him. And when they fell, they were locked up in this place called Tartarus. No, demon spirits are not fallen angels. The Bible teaches us in 2 Peter. Let me give you the verse real quick. In 2 Peter, the second chapter and verse 4, that's 2 Peter, the second chapter and verse 4, it says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." So fallen angels are not demon spirits. Fallen angels are the third of the angels that fell with Lucifer when Lucifer made a decision to rebel against God. He wanted to exalt his throne above the throne of God in heaven. He had a place in heaven at one time. He was a praise and worship leader in heaven. He also ruled upon this earth before Adam and Eve's time in the earth. He ruled upon the earth, and we'll study this in great detail when we get into our class on angels and demons. That's going to be a powerful class as well. But anyway, demon spirits are a disembodied spirits of a pre-Adamic race. That's exactly what I believe. The Bible teaches us that there was some kind of life upon the earth before Adam and Eve. And then that life was destroyed with a flood. The book of Psalms talks about more than one flood. In Genesis 1 and verse 1 and 2, there is a gap between the two verses in history. It says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And then it goes into verse 2, "And the earth was without form and void." We don't know when God created the heaven and the earth. It could have been millions of years ago. But there was some type of life upon the earth. Lucifer was the ruler of that life. And the Bible tells us that he deceived the nations. There were some kind of nations upon the earth. And all of that life, everything was in, or everything joined itself to Lucifer. A third of the angels joined themselves to Lucifer to rebel against God, to go against God, to try to overthrow God on his throne in heaven. But you know what happened? He got kicked out. He got kicked out. And remember, Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning falleth from heaven." Jesus saw the time that Lucifer lost his place in heaven. He was kicked out of heaven. Anyway, that's some of the teaching that is coming up in other classes. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Matthew, the 11th chapter. And let's begin reading. We're talking about the last foundational doctrine that is mentioned in Hebrews 6. And that last foundational doctrine is the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, notice, Jesus is speaking here in verse 20. He says, "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at that day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted into heaven, shalt be brought down to hell." Here we have that word Hades. "Shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." Tyre and Sidon and Sodom were ancient cities that had a long-standing reputation in the Old Testament for wickedness. And you can find them mentioned in Genesis chapters 18 and 19. Genesis chapters 18 and 19, and in Ezekiel, the 27th and 28th chapter. Each of these cities were destroyed by God in the Old Testament for their evil, or they were allowed to be destroyed by God for their evil. The people of Bethsaida, Chorazin, and Capernaum saw Jesus firsthand. They saw him. They heard him. They saw the miracles that he did. But they refused to repent of their sins, change their ways, and believe in him. And Jesus said that if some of the wickedest cities of the world had seen him, referring to these other cities that are mentioned in the Old Testament, they would have repented. But here these cities that he had gone to and ministered in did not believe. And he said they would suffer a greater punishment. Now, I don't know what that means, but apparently there's different levels of punishment that unbelievers are going to go through for their wickedness. You know, it's the same way. You see this even today in our world. You see some cities that are wickeder than other cities, and as a result, you can see what has happened in our world today. You can see what has happened in our world with nations that are forsaken God, that are evil, that are full of murder, that are full of hatred. You look at a lot of the Islamic nations. And the hatred that they have against the Jews, the hatred that they have against the Christians. But and look at the conditions that the people are living in at this time. I'll tell you what, the new birth, the good news will always bring a blessing into a nation. It will always bring a prosperity into a nation. In fact, if you go back and you study the major inventions of the world, you see that all of those major inventions came from Christian nations. Luke 10 and verse 15, it also says, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell." Capernaum was Jesus' base for his Galilean ministry. The city was located at an important crossroads used by traders and the Roman army. So a message proclaimed in Capernaum would go a long ways. This was like a center area, and anything that came out of Capernaum would go a long ways. The Roman army came through here, traders came through here, and they would pick things up and take them, take it with them. And so a message that would be proclaimed in the city was taken by the traders and the Roman army to many different places. Many people of Capernaum did not understand the teaching, they chose not to, or the miracles of Jesus. In this city, Jesus included among those that would be judged in a severe way for rejecting him. Let's go to Revelations, the first chapter. Revelations, the first chapter, in verse 18. And, you know, as we teach on this, remember that this is not something that you are going to go through. No, you have the reward seat of the Lord Jesus Christ to look forward to. The Word says that the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. We have something to look forward to. We have rewards to look forward to. We have eternity with Jesus and God our Father to look forward to. There's much for you and I to look forward to, but we do need to study some of these other things too. They're in the Bible, and they're in the Bible for a reason. Revelations chapter 1 and verse 18. Listen to what Jesus says here. Revelations 1 and verse 18. "I am he that liveth and was dead." What's Jesus referring to here? He's talking about being made spiritually dead. He's talking about being made sin with our sin. "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." Why does he say, "Behold, I'm alive forevermore"? Because Jesus became our substitute. He was alive, and then he died. And when he died, he on the cross, when he was dying, he took in our sin nature. And then in hell, he took the life back that he had given up, and he resurrected. And from that point on, he's alive with that life forevermore. And it's the same way with you and I. We were alive at one time when we were babies and came into this world. Then we died spiritually, and now we have made a decision. You've made a decision. I've made a decision. We have made a decision to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Therefore, we are born again. We have this same eternal life on the inside of us. We are alive with this eternal life forevermore. Amen. And it says, "and have the keys of hell and of death." Why does it say that? Because everything focuses around what you do with Jesus. Everything focuses around what man does with Jesus. When man accepts Jesus, he's delivered from the destiny of hell. When man receives Jesus, he's delivered from the spiritual death. The spiritual death is taken out of him. The destination of hell is something that he is no longer headed for. Heaven is his future. Spiritual life is imparted into him. So Jesus is the one that has the keys of hell and of death. Let's go to Revelations, the 20th chapter. Revelations, the 20th chapter. In Revelations 20 and verse 11. And we studied this right in the beginning of our teaching in our last lesson on the foundation of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. It says, "And I saw a great white throne. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away." Well, that's exactly what's going to happen when Jesus brings his kingdom back to the earth. The earth and heaven is going to flee. They're going to run away from him. Because by the time that he comes back at the second coming to bring his kingdom on the earth, man will have been given one last chance. There's actually going to be one 24-hour day of supernatural darkness. And in that day of darkness, every person in this earth will have one last chance to make a decision as to whether or not they receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If they reject Christ when the supernatural darkness is broke by the power of light, by the glory of God that comes with Jesus when he comes, there will be no place for them. There will no longer be a chance for man to be born again. Everyone has to make a decision before it's too late. They have to make a decision before they die physically, or on that day they will have had to have made. This is the last day of the tribulation. They will have to make a decision within that 24-hour period. If they don't, there's no chance, there's no place any longer found for them to know God as Father and be born again. And I saw the dead, notice this, and I saw the dead. Here we have this word dead. He's talking about those that are spiritually dead. And I saw the dead, small and great. So these are people that were successful and people that were not successful, poor people. We have, you know, from the lowest to the greatest, from the smallest to the greatest, stand before God, and the books, notice, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. So it says the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged, notice the dead referring to the spiritually dead, were judged out of those things. He's not saying the people that don't exist. That's not what death means for a person. Death means separation. Spiritual death means to be separated from God. Physical death means the spirit separated from the body. Eternal death means man eternally separated in the lake of fire from God. And it says the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Now notice, according to their, what? According to their works. Well, what would will happen is because the spiritually dead, those that have that have died and they've gone onto this place called Hades, when they are brought up before the great white throne, the only thing that they'll have to stand with is their good works. But the problem is that in all of their good works, there are imperfections. And no man, that the word says that man's righteousness is as filthy rags, no man's works will come close to equaling the good works of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will always be imperfections in those works. And so they're judged according to their works. And all these imperfections are seen in the middle of the works. And so there's no chance for them to make heaven, because sin cannot find its way into heaven. Sin can never have entrance into heaven. It must be judged. And those that have rejected Christ have chosen to reject God's answer for the sin problem in their life. Verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it." The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up. Notice hell here is a reference to Hades. Delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And what happens? And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, cast into Gehenna. This is the second death. Wow. This is the second death. And whoever was not found written in the book of life. Aren't you glad? Oh, praise God. Aren't you so glad that this is something that you're not going to experience? Why? Because your name is written in the book of life. It says, and whosoever was not found, this is what's going to happen. These books are going to be pulled out. The people's names are going to be sought for in the book of life, but their names will not be found in the book of life. Therefore, they'll be left to be judged by the book of works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, everybody's name at one time was recorded in the book of life. Because when Jesus paid the price, the redemptive price for our sin, he paid the price for everyone. For God so loved the world, the whole world, that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus paid the price for every single person. Everybody's name is in that book. But what happens is when a man dies physically and has not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, his name is taken out of that book because he's chosen to do it his own way, and therefore he's left to be judged by the book of works. Wow. Revelations 21. Revelations 21 and verse 8. Revelations 21 and verse 8. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Let me read that verse again. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, you know, who are these? Idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Well, why does it say that? Because again, these unbelievers are judged according to their works. And in one way or another, they fit in this category. This category. Notice in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, hell is not the destination for the believer. We are not the fearful. We are not the unbelieving. We are not the abominable. We are not murderers. We are not whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars. No, notice here, in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, in verse 9, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now notice here in verse 11, and such were. And what? And such were. And such were. You know, maybe these are some things that you've done in your life. Maybe this is the kind of person that you were before you got born again. But I'll tell you something, the Bible says, and such were some of you. If you were, that's your past. And praise God, you are a new creation in Christ. It says that in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, old things have passed away. All that old life is passed away. And behold, you become a new creation in Christ. That's exactly what Paul is writing here. He says in verse 11, and such were some of you. This is who you were Well, a person that chooses to reject Christ, they stay in this condition. Therefore, they're judged by the book of works and end up being cast into the lake of fire. It says, and such were some of you, but praise God, you're washed. You're sanctified. Aren't you glad? We're washed. We've been sanctified. We are justified. Justified means to be made right. Righteous, sanctified means to be set apart unto God. Washed means to be made clean. You're justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hell is not your destination. The lake of fire is not your destination. You have been born again. You've been delivered from that being your destination. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad for that? Hallelujah. Well, this is all that we're going to teach on this subject. It's so good to know that hell is not our future. It's so good to know that the lake of fire is not our future. It's so good to know that we've been made righteous, that we've been justified, we've been sanctified. We have something to look forward to. But it is also important to know where the unbelievers are going to. And you need to know this information so that if people ask you about these things, or when you have opportunity, you can share with them that they don't have to go to hell. They don't have to spend eternity separated from God. There's a better way. And the way is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. It's been wonderful to be with you again for another Bible teaching. I trust that you've been encouraged, build up, receive revelation through this class. And I look forward to being with you again on another class as we continue to go forth with revelation after revelation, line upon line, precept upon precept from the Word of God. Father, I thank you for each and every Bible school student. I thank you for the opportunity that we've had today to learn your Word, to study your Word. I thank you that you built them up. And I thank you, Father, that for us, we do have a future, that we're not going to hell, that we're not going to go to the lake of fire. But you, through Jesus, have made that way of escape for us. And we thank you that not only is that way of escape made for us, but that you have put your life on the inside of us that we could enjoy this life now, in this time, in this world, and look forward to what is to come. Father, we thank and praise you for these things right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is Mark Irvin with From Faith to the Nations International Bible School, and I look forward to being with you again in another class.